Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 through 22. I will say this, that your pastor is out of town, so my message will not be as well preached as he would be. My message will not be as deep as his would be, but it will be shorter. I promise you that. Now, y'all think just because, you know, I'm nervous and I don't have that much content, and you're probably right. Well, you are right. But there is more reason than that. My grandma called me this week. Says she wants me to come over for Sunday afternoon dinner. Now, y'all, that may not be a very big deal, but, you know, I just moved out on my own. I got my own apartment. It's me and another guy. I'm just going to tell you, Pop-Tarts and hot dogs get old after about a week. And it ain't always cracked up to be. Yeah. The whole freedom thing, teenagers? Uh-uh. Just stay where the home cooking is. I promise it's worth it. No, but we'll be getting started here in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 through 22. And verse 17, let's begin. It says, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." And then we're going to read also in Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 through 22. It says, "And the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided." Let's pray real quick and we'll begin. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for all that you've done today, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just meet with us now. Lord, I pray that you'd give me the words that you'd have said, or that you'd guide my thoughts, Lord, that Lord, you would say that you would have the message preached the way you'd want it preached today, Father. Now, Lord, I pray that it would just be a blessing to each and every heart here, Lord, and that, Lord, you will move in this place today, Lord. Help us to get something, Lord, out of this sermon, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, I want to read that verse one more time to you. I read this verse as a high schooler, and I don't know, it just kind of struck me funny. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, it says, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt." I thought this was kind of funny. You see, I was reading that, and I thought, you know, the land of the Philistines was near, the Bible said. The land of the Philistines was probably closer. It was probably the direct route to where they were going, but God said, I'm not going to lead them that way. God said that just by chance, peradventure, means like perhaps, they would repent when they see war and they would turn back. So God says, I'm going to lead them through another way. And then later on, we read in the next chapter how God led them to the Red Sea. Now, I don't know how familiar everybody is with this story, but I'm sure most of us are. The children of Israel had left Egypt, and after, you know, Moses and God convinced Pharaoh to let them go after sending the 10 plagues, the children of Israel left, and they started to head through the wilderness and to head towards the promised land. Well, Pharaoh decided to go after him. He said, no, God hardened his heart and decided to go after. So he took the army of the Egyptians, and he went after the children of Israel. So we see that God led them to the Red Sea. Now they've come to this Red Sea, and they have the children of Israel chasing them from behind, and in front of them, all they have is this huge sea. Now, I just want to take a look at a couple, I guess, lessons that I've learned from this. You see, we're all going to have, I guess, what you would call Red Sea times. Times where, you know, you feel like there's really no way out of whatever situation you're in. We're all going to have times where we look in our life and we feel like, you know, I got somebody coming from behind me. I got something in front of me I can't get over. I don't see any way out of this. I don't know what it might be today in each and every one of our lives. It might be sickness. You know, you might have cancer, you might have a disease, you might have a sickness that you feel like you're never going to get over, that you feel is like a Red Sea in front of your life, a sickness that you feel like, you know, every morning that you wake up and it's just another day of pain and agony, and you really just don't see any way out of it. You don't see any hope. You don't see anything good out of it. It may be that you have financial difficulties. I've learned through college that financial difficulties can be a very trying thing. It can be something that just seems to always be on your mind. And I don't know what it might be today in your life. It could be that, you know, you have so many bills coming in and you're only making so much money and there's just no way out of it. There's just no way that you see that you're going to be able to make all the bills that you have to pay this month. I don't know what it might be. It might be that you're having marriage problems. You might find that the person that you've thought you loved with all your heart for maybe the last year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and now you feel like that person doesn't even love you anymore. I don't know what it might be. You could have a Red Sea problem. You feel like could be you've lost loved ones recently. It could be that you've lost somebody very close to you, and it hurts so bad, and you just every day you wake up and you miss them so much, and you just feel like the pain's never going to go away. I mean, you every day you get up and you just feel like you're at a Red Sea point. There's no way out of it. It may be that you face loneliness. You might be facing something right now, and you may be a widow. You might be a person who's just on their own, and you really feel like that's just that nobody really cares for you, that you're just kind of all on your own. You know, I think of widows, and you've had somebody for 10, 20, 30, 40 years who was always there by your side through every good moment, through every bad moment, and now you're by yourself. And you feel like there's really no way out of it. It's a Red Sea moment. You got the Egyptians at your back, and you got the Red Sea in front of you. And I look at that, and I look at what God did here in the Bible, and you see God brought them to that Red Sea. The Bible says that he had a cloud that led them through the day and through the night. And he took them to that Red Sea. He knew exactly what was going to happen there. And what I want to take today is just a couple lessons on exactly why we might face these Red Seas in our life. Why we face these difficulties that hurt so bad sometimes that we just don't understand why God would bring them into our life. Situations where you feel like you have no control over, but you have to face it. Why does God bring these things into our lives? Why does God bring sickness into our lives? Why does God bring financial difficulties? Why does God have these marriage problems in my life? Why does God have lost? Why does God feel like he has to take one of my loved ones and he had to take him home? Why does God have to have me be all by myself and I'm lonely and I'm by myself and there's nobody that seems to care for me? Why does God put me through that? Why does God put us through these Red Sea times? First point I want to look at today is to establish or build your faith. To establish or build your faith. You see, one thing I've learned, and I don't know how many are familiar, but I went to Hiles Anderson Bible College, and our Bible college is a little bit different. It's not like it's not a government college. It's not a state college. You pay for it all as you go. You don't really get grants or anything like that. You pay for it all as you go. It's not as expensive as most state colleges, but still it's kind of trying to pay for all of your college as you go. And as I went through college, I learned that you have to have faith in your God. One thing that God taught me, you see, God will take you to a place of a Red Sea. God will take you to a place in your life when you see no way out, just to make you lean on him. Just to make you lean on him. You see, sometimes God wants to bring you to a point in your life where all you can do, you have no other way out, you see no other way out, you have no hope, and all you can do is to look to God and say, I don't know what's going on here, but I can only trust in you. That's all I have. That's all the only hope I have, God. See, God might bring you to these points. God might take you to these points in your life when you feel like you can't take any more, just to bring you to the point where you have to finally say, you know what? I can't do anything else on my own, God. I don't know what's going on here, but Lord, I know one thing. I need you. I need you more than my breath itself. I need you, God. God might bring you to a Red Sea point in your life, a time of trying, a try of heartache, a time of burdens, just so you'll lean on him. God might bring you to that point. It may be a place for you to always look back on, though. God might bring you to a Red Sea to give you a place to establish your faith to always look back on. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 11, verse 4. Deuteronomy 11, verse 4. (Clears throat) Deuteronomy 11, verse 4, it says, "And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses and to their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day." This is 40 years later. 40 years later, the children of Israel are still looking back in their life and saying, "Wait a minute, we can still do this, because 40 years ago, God split the Red Sea." You see, I look at some of the teenagers in here, and I look at some of the young people and some of the bus kids, and, you know, I feel like sometimes as you go throughout your life, and as you go through and you have a hard life, and there's no doubt, and then I work with bus kids all weekend long, and some of you face some hard situations. Some of you go home and you face a place where you're beaten. You face a place where you feel like you're not loved, and you don't understand why God put you there. And every night you lay your head on your pillow and you look down and you say, "God, why am I in this home?" And as the tears roll down your face, you don't understand and you don't see why, but you have to understand that God is putting you in a place where he's going to split your Red Sea. And 40 years down the line, as you look back on your life, and as you look and you have to face more and more trials that seem to come into your life, you can look back and say, "You know what? God came through for me 40 years ago, and I know that God will come through me now. And I know 20 years from now, God will still come through with me, because you know what? He proved something to me 40 years ago when he split the Red Sea in my life. Whenever he got me through that hard time, whenever he saw me through that struggle, God did it then, and I know he can do it now." You see, I take comfort in that. As I go through my college years, and as I faced whatever it might have been, hard times, hard struggles, financial problems, you know what? It made me realize that it's okay, because those problems are always going to be there. I'm pretty sure that 20 years down the line, I'll probably still be facing financial problems. I'll probably still be facing whatever problems you want to face, whatever you're going through. You know what? Problems are still going to be there. It may be a different problem, but there's always going to be problems in your life. And you know what? I look at it and I say, "You know what? That's okay, because I know what? God took care of me when I was in that place. God took care of me when I was in Bible college. God took care of me as a young boy. God took care of me as a teenager. And I know that God will take care of me 10 years down the road. I know that God will see me through it." It's a place that God takes you to build your faith, to establish your faith. You see, God will take you to those hard places in your life, and he'll see you through it. Oh, it may not always be the answer you want. It may not be a miracle that you're looking for. But God will give you the grace and the strength to get through. And then 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, you'll look back and say, "You know what? God saw me through that time. And I have faith that he'll see me through the next time." God will take you to a place of trial, a place of tribulation, a place of heartache, to build your faith, to establish a place that you can always look back on. Not only that, but back in Exodus chapter 14, if you look in 14 verse 9, it says, "But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping them by the sea beside Perioth before Baal-Zephon." I can't pronounce all that. But and then also, if you look at 14:19, it says, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to thee, so that the light came near, not near the others all the night." Why will God take you to these Red Sea places? To show you his protection. To show you his protection. You see, God took them to this place, and just as the Egyptians were about to come upon them, and as the Egyptians were in striking distance, God took that cloud of fire, and he moved it from before them, and he moved it behind them. And he put it between them and the Egyptians, so that neither one could come to the other during the night. You see, God will take you to these places, these Red Sea places, these hard times, just to show you his protection. As a 17-year-old teenage boy, I was just got in the car and I was driving, and most of you remember this, but I was driving down, I don't remember what street it was over here, but I was driving down the highway. I was going, you know, normal speed is like 55, something like that. And another teenage boy who was supposed to stop, and he ran a stop sign, and I hit him going about 55 miles an hour. Didn't see him coming, didn't have a clue, and I T-boned him about 55 miles an hour. And I remember after that, I was sitting there thinking, "You know, God, why in the world?" Now, here's the real thing that threw me for a loop. I'll share this with you. I had just left somewhere, and most of you know that if you go to our Christian school here, you're not allowed to go to movie theaters. Well, I had just left somewhere before I was going home, and somebody had asked me to go to a movie theater. Somebody asked me to go and see a movie. And I was like, oh, you know, and I was sitting there, I was kind of like, I don't know what I should do. And I was like, you know what, I can't do it. So I didn't go. And I was driving home. I'm like, man, I was proud of myself. You know, good job, Aaron. You made a good decision. Yes. You know, I'm like, good Christian decision. So I'm driving home, and then I hit that kid. And so I'm riding in the ambulance to the hospital, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, now, wait a minute, God. I should have went to this stinking movie theater. I mean, I at least could have asked for forgiveness and still had my car. But, you know, no, oh, I know that's bad, but... No, but honestly, though, I mean, I'm sitting here, and, you know, as a 17-year-old boy, I don't understand some of these things. I'm sitting around thinking, no, wait a minute, God, this ain't right. This, you know, I really struggled with that decision, and I did good here. I made the right choice. Now, why would this happen? And then God kind of is like, well, Aaron, he goes, you made it through it okay, didn't you? And I'm like, well, yeah. He's like, so you think I have a plan for you? I'm like, I guess so. He's like, well, okay. So you're going to see that I'm going to protect you. And as I think about that, and I think about, you know, why did God bring me to that place? To show me that he's going to protect me. I was on a trip in February. I won a trip, a promotional trip to, Mima's laughing at me. Don't laugh at me. I was on a promotional trip. We won a bus contest up at the college, and I got to go snowmobiling. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go snowmobiling up in Michigan. And so now I ain't never been on a snowmobile before. So, you know, but I mean, it's not that big a deal. You know, I can't be much different than four-wheeling and stuff except you're on ice. And so I'm like, all right, so, you know, we're going to go ride these things. And so I'm out there, you know, and we go at night, the first night we get there, which I don't know why we went. You know, a bunch of guys who've never been on snowmobiles before really don't need to be driving around dark paths at night. But we went. And so, you know, and everything went fine. I had a good time. The next morning we get up, we're going to go again. This is going to be the big day. I mean, we're going to go snowmobiling for like 8 hours. We're going to cover like a 40-mile different, go to like 40 miles away and go to these different cities and all this stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so I'm like 20 minutes out and take one of these, you know, I went the same path we went last night. We just didn't go that far last night. And I take this curve real fast and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. So I go up to this next curve and I'm like, let's see how fast I take this one. Well, the next thing I know, I'm kind of going like this, and the side thing's all tipped up like this, and somehow I kind of jumped off the path and kind of went through the woods. And the next thing I remember, because when things like this happen, I have one reaction: close your eyes and pray that you're still awake when it's done. You know, I mean, you know, everybody's like, "Man, what happened? What, you know, where did you hit? What did you do?" I'm like, "I don't know." You know, once I go airborne, I just close my eyes and pray that everything's gonna be okay. And so, you know, I'm soaring now. I'm off the snowmobile, and I'm soaring through the air like a kind of like a missile. And next thing I know, I apparently hit a tree because there's a big dent in there with my head from my helmet. And so I'm laying there, and you know, you got blood everywhere. You're all hurting. Knock my boots off my feet. My feet are cold. I'm freezing. Trying to find my boots wherever they're at. And I'm sitting there. I'm just like, now wait a minute. Now, the only reason I was able to go on this stinking trip was because, you know, I worked my bus route real hard, and we did really good, and we had a lot of people come to church, you know, and we served God, you know, and we did everything we were supposed to be doing. And I'm sitting there thinking, now, wait a minute here. This ain't right. I'm like, no, this is supposed to be a fun trip. And next thing I know, I'm laying here with my boots knocked off, my feet freezing, legs hurting, face bloodied, and I'm like, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And so I'm sitting there thinking, why now? Why in the world would this happen to me, God? And God says again, Aaron, I protected you, didn't you? Didn't I? And I'm like, yeah, I guess so. And he's like, okay, you think I got a plan for your life? You think I got something for you to do later on? I'm like, yeah, I guess so. You know, it may not always be a fun time. That was not a fun time, okay? Sitting in a big pile of snow with like I said, it was amazing. But you know what bothered me the most is that my feet were freezing, you know, but... That was not a fun time. And you know, you're not going to have fun times in your life all the time. Things are going to go wrong. Things are going to go bad. Things that you think are going to supposed to be good, thing, you know, business deals that were supposed to go right, don't go right. And next thing you know, that, you know, you're facing some financial hardships. But God's just bringing you through it. And he's going to say, you know what? It's okay. Because I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you that I'm going to protect you, that I'm going to take care of you. Why does God take you to these Red Sea times? To show you his protection. Not only that, but God shows you through these Red Sea times that he's going to fight for you. If you look at Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, it says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Realize, folks, that as you go through your hard times and as you go through your struggles and as you face these times of hardships, that God's going to show you that he's going to fight for you. Oh yeah, he may not come down in like some big form and stand out in front of you and with a big sword and say, I'm going to fight for you. But open your eyes a little bit and watch how God fights for you. Watch how God fights for you. Hey, you know you have a pastor? And you know what that pastor was there for? He's there to fight for you for God. You realize that a pastor that comes to you and he cares for you and he watches over you and he prays for you and he hopes that you do well and he tries to lead you to a better Christian life, to a better home life. You realize you have a pastor that God sent to fight for you? I mean, just think about that. That's what he's there for. He's there to fight for you. God sent that man to fight for you. You have bus workers. If you ride on our buses, you have a bus kid, you're a bus teenager. You know you have bus workers that God sent there to fight for you? Realize that God sent those bus workers to your house. And you know why he sent them to your house? Because God says, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for you. He goes, I believe in you, and I believe that you have a future. That God says, I believe you can go out and reach hundreds of people and lead them to the Lord. And God says, I'm going to send a bus worker to your door to knock on your door, to bring you to church, to drive a bus. And the reason I'm bringing you to church is because I'm going to fight for you, God says. That's why that bus worker's there. God says, I'm going to send this person to you, and I'm going to show you that I'm going to fight for you. I'm not just going to let you sit in that home and rot away and do nothing with your life. God says, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to send somebody to your door to pick you up and bring you to church. Amen. God's going to fight for you. I look across the auditorium and I see a lot of teenagers. Realize that your parents are there to fight for you. That God gave you parents. You grew up in a good Christian home and you have parents that love the Lord. Understand that God gave you parents that are going to fight for you. That God, that's God's way of showing he's fighting for you. By giving you parents that are going to help you to do right. That aren't going to let you do whatever you want to do. That's going to make you do what is right according to God. He's going to give you parents and he's going to show you that he's going to fight for you. Amen. He's going to fight for you. Why does God take you to these places? Why does God bring us to these times of hardship? Why does God bring sickness into our life? Why does God bring financial difficulties? Why does God bring all these things into our lives? Well, to establish or build our faith. Next thing that reason he does that is because he does it as an example to the generations to follow. If you'll turn to Joshua chapter 4, verse 20. Joshua chapter 4. Verse 20. We're going to read through 20 through 23. Joshua chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. You see, Joshua, the leader after Moses, the next generation, did cross over the Jordan River on dry land as well. And you see, the only reason they had faith enough to do that was because the generation before them crossed over on the Red Sea. And then after Joshua did it, they set up some stones. And they said, what are these stones for? Well, they said, these stones are for our next generation. For when they look at these stones, they'll realize that their fathers passed over on dry land and that God came through for them. You see, as you go through these times and as you go through hard times, realize that God will use this to show the next generation that he will split the Red Sea for them as well. Joshua chapter 24, verse 16. You guys don't have to turn in these passages. I'll just read them. Joshua chapter 24, verse 16 says, And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve our gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. You see, the people there were looking back again and saying, now wait a minute, our forefathers were the ones that came out of Egypt and God saw them through all the trials they went through, and they're using that as an example to them. Not only that, but also over in Nehemiah chapter 9:9, real quick I'll read that verse for you. It says, And didst see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea. Now, according to the timeline, that was about 1,000 years later. About 1,000 years later, they were still making reference to when they crossed the Red Sea. 1,000 years later, their following generations were still making reference to it. You know, today we're still making reference to when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. And you know, it's an example to the next generation. It's an example. You see, parents and grandparents, you're an example to the younger generation that's coming behind you. You see, if we watch as you face the hard times, when we watch as you face financial difficulties, and as maybe you don't understand why things are happening, and as you have to go through, and the only thing you have is your faith in God. And we watch as you walk through that Red Sea. And we watch as God leads you through it. And you know what? It's amazing. But no matter what has come across your life, no matter what has come across my parents' life, you know what's amazing? They're still doing it. They're still okay. God always saw them through it. And I look at that and I think, you know, it's an example to me. It's an example to me that as I watch and as God took care of them, as God split the Red Sea for them, it's an example to me that God will do it for me in the future. And that God will not only do it for me, but it will do it for my future generations and for my future kids and my future grandkids. God will take care of them. The reason that God will bring these Red Seas in your life is to build or establish your faith, to be an example to the next generation. But then not only that, but be an example to the lost. Turn to Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I want not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed." Realize that God brings Red Seas into our lives as an example to the lost world. You see, this lady that took in these two spies, Joshua sent these two spies in to go and check out the land of Jericho, and she hid these two men, and the reason that she did, she says, I know that God has given you this land. She says, "I know that you are supposed to have this land." And because of that, she goes, "Because we have heard about what God has done," she goes, "that's why I'm going to hide you and keep you safe." She says, "I heard how God split the Red Sea for you." And you realize that people watch in our community how Christians handle the hard times. You see, as you face these hard times, as you lose a close loved one, realize that our community will look at you and see how you respond. As you go through financial hard times, as you go through trying times, as you go through maybe a loss of a child or maybe a marriage problems or whatever it might be, realize that God is bringing you through these times so that you can show the lost world how a Christian is supposed to handle them. I wonder, how does the world perceive the Christian when they go through these hard times? Does a Christian have bitterness? Do you look to God and you feel anger and you feel bitterness towards God because you don't think you've been treated fairly or been done rightly by? Is that what the world sees? Does the world see a person who decides if they don't feel like God's doing them right, they're going to be rebellious? You know, the children of Israel could have refused to go across that Red Sea. God split the Red Sea. The children of Israel could have said, "We're not walking through that." They could have been rebellious. I wonder what the world sees as we go through our hard times. Do they see strength? Do they see a strong Christian? Do they see a Christian who has faith in their God, who knows that all things work together for good to them that love God? Is that what they see? What do they see when you're going through hard times? Do they see somebody who actually has a big, strong, almighty God? Or do they see somebody whose faith is weak, who probably just goes to church, maybe because it's a thing to do and they've always done it? Or do they actually see a Christian who has a real relationship with their God, who knows that they're going to be okay because their God will take care of them? What does the world see whenever we go through these hard times? God will take you to these hard times to build and establish your faith, to be an example to the next generation, to be an example to the lost. And then not only that, but God will take you to a Red Sea because you're not ready for war. The Bible said that they did not lead them through the land of the Philistines because he said, peradventure, he goes, perhaps when they see war, they're going to repent and they're going to turn back. You see, sometimes we get frustrated, and I've thought about this before a lot as I've gone through college, and especially with finances. You know, I wonder if sometimes we get so mad sometimes that our finances aren't the way we want them, and we don't have the lifestyle that we've always dreamed of, and now you're 30, 40, 50 years old, and you're just not happy with the way, you know, these aren't the dreams that you had as a young boy, not the lifestyle you was wanting to have. I wonder if God didn't give you that lifestyle because you weren't ready to handle the temptations that would come with. Maybe that God knew you wouldn't be able to handle the easy road that you think you wanted so badly. Maybe God knew that you wouldn't be able to take on the temptations that were going to come with that. I don't know why. Only God really knows why, but realize that there's a reason why God's taking you to these places. There's a reason why God's putting you at that Red Sea with the Egyptian army on your back. There's a reason. He takes you there to establish or build your faith. He takes you there to be an example to the next generation. He takes you there to be an example to the lost. He takes you there because you're not ready for war. And then lastly, he takes you there because God just wants a relationship that bad. God wants a relationship that bad. You see, so many of us look at God as a tool in our toolbox. You see, you go to God and you say, God, I like you over here, and you're a good part of my life, and I'm going to keep you in my toolbox. You're there. You're there with my hammer and my screwdriver and my wrench. You're there. So I'm taking you with me wherever I go, and you're in my toolbox. But he sits there, and he waits. But you see, you never go to him until everything comes crashing down. You see, sometimes God might put you in that Red Sea part of your life. God might make you hurt so bad just to get you to get on your knees before him and talk to him. You know, what a shame, you know, and I hate that feeling. I've been there before when you don't have the relationship you're supposed to be having with God, and it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing when everything comes crashing down, and you know you have to go to God because there's no way out. There's no other person that can help you. There's no worldly play that anybody can help you. You know you have to go to God, and it's embarrassing. You're like, God, I know I haven't been doing what I should have been doing. I know I haven't been talking to you like I should have been. I haven't been praying like I should have been, God, and I need you now. You know, that's embarrassing, and that's a shame on us. God is not a tool in our toolbox. We're a tool in his toolbox. We're there to be used for him. But you know what? God desires such a relationship. You see, the reason you're here on this earth, God put you here because he wanted a relationship with man. So the whole reason he put you here, if he has to, I guess he can take you to a place to where you're going to have to say, you know what? I can't do anything else, God. I need you so badly, and I have to talk to you, God. I have to have you get. I have to have your blessings. I have to have you on my side. So God says, okay, if that's what it's going to take, if I have to bring you that far down for you to have a relationship with me, that's what I'll have to do. You see, it's amazing how many times the children of Israel, they would complain or they would cry out to God, then everything would go fine. And then the next thing you know, they'd be falling back and they didn't need God. But then things start going bad again, and all of a sudden it's crying to God, crying to Moses, we need help, this is not working out. God says, okay, if that's what it's going to take for you to have a relationship with me, I'll keep on putting you through Red Seas. I'll keep on putting you through the Jordan Rivers. I'll keep on putting you in a situation where the only way that you will come talk to me is by having to face these hard times. And that's a shame. That's a shame that our God would have to do that. So why does God take us to these places? Why does God make us go through these hard times? Well, he wants to build your faith. He wants to build your faith. He wants you to be an example to the next generation. He wants you to be an example to the lost. He puts you through these times because maybe you're just not ready for the war. That you think you would have the easy path, there's war at the other end, and you're not ready for it. Or maybe he takes you there just because he wants a relationship with you that bad. And the only way he can get that is by putting you through these hard times. I don't know what it is today. I don't know what it is that you might be facing. But all I can offer you is this, is that God is in control. God is in control of all the problems you think you might have in your life, all the trials you're going through. God is in control of them. And he will lead you and he will guide you. And understand that there is a reason why it is there. Look for it. Look for it. Look for God to build your faith. Look for it. And understand that these times that you're facing, God will see you through it. It may not be the answer you always look for. It may not, you know, okay, financial problems in college, you know what I'd look for? I'd look for a $1 million check in my mailbox, but it never came. Okay? You know, it may not be the answer that you necessarily want all the time, but it seems to always work out. God always seems to take care of you. God always seems to see you through it. He always seems to give you the grace and the strength to get through whatever it is you're facing. Take comfort in that.
Amen.
Take comfort and look for the reasons on why you're facing these hard times. Let's pray real quick and we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just work here today, Lord, that this sermon would have been a blessing, Lord, and a help, Lord, and a comfort to those who are facing hard times, Lord. If it helped one person today, God, that is going through a hard time, if it encouraged one person who is facing a difficult time, Lord, that they see no way out, Lord, I would count it a great blessing, Father. Now, Lord, I pray that you would just work here now in the invitation, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.